You have the Word of God this morning. Let's take the Bible and turn to the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter number 12. Chapter number 12. As you can see, I have my little gizmo out here this morning, and we're going to utilize this in just a moment, the entire time, but I just want you to see something. Oftentimes, Jesus did use object lessons. We are to learn through different sensory organs, eyesight being one, picture memory, as well as obviously the intellect. And there is such a thing called emotional intelligence as well. So we can learn in different capacity. And that's a good thing. In Matthew chapter number 12, the Bible says in verse number 32, "And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this life, in this world, neither in the world to come." Now, the title of the message this morning is this: Are you forgivable? Are you forgivable? And these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what Jesus is saying is simply this. He said, you can say any derogatory thing, any mean, evil, wicked thing you want to against Jesus or God, but when you begin to repulse and battle against the Holy Spirit about your eternal destiny and totally reject Him, that is the unpardonable sin. And people often ask, can a saved person commit the unpardonable sin? The answer to that is no, because the unpardonable sin is rejecting the influence, the ministering of the Holy Spirit about your lost condition. And Jesus is saying to His followers and those around, saying that anyone who speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him. That's pretty emphatic language, isn't it? It shall not be forgiven him. So in other words, when the Holy Spirit of God begins to work in somebody's life that's not saved, in other words, their life may be very well balanced, very blessed. But when God begins to move on an individual for salvation, and they all of a sudden, things that used to work for them does not work anymore. When things used to be an enjoyment become a displeasurable thing. And this is often where our world and our society does people an injustice, because this will bring a sense of guilt. This will bring a sense of depression. And oftentimes medication is prescribed to these things. And what it really is God's Spirit working in the life of an individual, trying to bring them to salvation in Christ Jesus. And so there is a unknown deception that actually goes on. But we have to come back to this understanding that where we have mental problems today, in reality what we have is spiritual problems. What used to be a spiritual crisis is no longer a spiritual crisis, but we have a diagnosable condition that excuses or masks the working of God's Spirit in individual lives. Now, that's true for the unsaved and the saved. And so, if we're going to be biblicist, we have to come back to the Bible and realize there's a real heaven and a real hell. There's a real Satan and a real God. And there is one Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on Calvary's cross for mankind's sin. And when the Holy Spirit of God begins to work in an individual's life, often having to bring that individual to the depths of woe, a severe trial for the Holy Spirit of God to be adhered to, when that begins and that person rejects that wooing, that ministering, that they are lost, they are undone, they are going to die without Christ, and they have that awful place called hell waiting on them for all eternity. And listen, hell is not a place you party it up. It's a place you burn up for all eternity. It's real. It is real. It is just as real as New York City or L.A., California. It's a real place. And when a person begins to reject that ministering of God's Spirit, that is the unpardonable sin. That's what Jesus is talking about here. He says, let's read this again. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, let me just say this. There are some religions out there, if you speak against them, they want to hurt you. Our God is big enough, He can take care of Himself. He doesn't need us standing up for Him. Amen. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him, but whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not. And folks, this is red letter, the Word of God, spoken by Jesus Christ, written for all eternity. You're not going to change this. He said, it shall not be forgiven him. And my question to you today is this, are you forgivable? Is there a sin that you have committed that is so egregious, so nefarious, so wicked that the blood of Christ can't forgive your sin? And the biblical answer is to that is no, there's not a sin so bad. Because the blood of Christ, the Bible said, cleanses from what? All sin. You might not have committed the sins of Stalin or Hitler or of something of that scale, but we all have sin, and maybe your sin to you is maybe a singular sin, but it is just that bad as Stalin or Hitler in your mind. But the fact of the matter is, the blood of Christ cleanseth from all sin. That's the fact. And you see, the number one thing that Satan uses for the lost and for the believer is to get them in the sense that you cannot be forgiven. Let me tell you where that came from. Number one, it came from Satan. And anything that comes from Satan is a lie. And he lies to deceive. And he deceives to destroy. And when we understand that, we understand where that deception is. You see, when a saved person needs a healing in their soul. Now we looked at Luke chapter number 4, verse 18, I believe it is, where Jesus Christ said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the gospel unto the poor." He talked about healing those that have been bruised. He talked about setting at liberty those that are captive and recovering the sight to the blind. And as we read Isaiah 53, you will see a lot of emotions that Jesus Christ had to bear. The grief, the sorrow, the loneliness, the labeling, the defilement that the sin of mankind was put on Him. He that knew no sin. So we see here that God understood something about the fact that man not only needed a spiritual redemption, but his soul, it needed redeeming too. And so if we understand that the number one enemy against healing our soul and the number one enemy for the lost is to believe that they can't be forgiven, the number one enemy to our soul today is this concept that we cannot be forgiven. Now, you may have had your sins forgiven and trust the Lord Jesus Christ, but perhaps there's something in your life, something that Satan has wounded or allowed to be in your emotion where you have not fully come to believing or experiencing the forgiveness that God wants you to have. Therefore, your wounded soul, that emotion is still open. And we've talked a lot about that. So I come back to this question, can you be forgiven? And the biblical theological answer to that is yes. But why is it that the lost can't seem to receive this forgiveness, or the saved cannot believe in the forgiveness that they theologically say that is there? And don't say those people don't exist, because they do, and there are quite a few. Because this is a real battle we're in, you know. It is really a satanic battle that we are in. Now, I want to share something with you. Here's why I have my little gizmo out. Forgiveness, there's three basic words in the Bible that is translated forgiveness. And the definition of these three, I'm not going to give you the Greek, but just the definition is important. To be gracious, to give freely. It's used 146 times in one particular word where it means forgiveness of debt or forgiveness of crimes. And it's used 17 times where it means freedom or release. And as I talk to people about not believing or experiencing, we talked a little about feeling last week, right? Experiencing the forgiveness that is in Christ Jesus, the word that often comes up is, Pastor, I know Jesus has forgiven me. I know I'm a child of God. I've asked forgiveness for this particular thing, but I just don't feel the forgiveness. Now, if our conviction and our assurance do not line up, that means Satan still has us in a stronghold. Okay? And again, I just want to caveat, I understand we live by faith, not by sight. But we're not talking about that in that context this morning. We're talking about healing the wounded soul. And the number one enemy of a wounded soul not being healed is unforgiveness. And so we have to look at this a little more closely here. You see, forgiveness is not reconciliation. Forgiveness has to do with the removal or release of indebtedness, not restoring a relationship, which is reconciliation. There are some relationships you will never be able to reconcile, but there is a relationship that God paid such a high price to give His Son that we can have reconciliation with Him. Then that doesn't mean we can't have reconciliation with individual people in every case. But there does not mean that we cannot forgive people in every case. And that does not mean that we cannot forgive ourselves. You see, the emotions are to the soul what touch is to the body. If you touch a hot stove, you realize that you immediately need to remove your hand from the danger. You see, our emotions often are our feeling or the feeling of the what goes on the inside. And you see, man's mind is not, regardless of what you may read in some books, man's mind is not the individual target of Satan. We have to understand this. You see, man's mind is not the primary battleground for Satan. Satan desires to manipulate all of mankind's soul. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 tells us we're made in spirit, soul, body. Now, okay, we got that. I'm going to draw you a bullseye. All right, I'm panicking here. This thing isn't working. There we go. Oh, that's terrible. Now, stay with me. I know I've drawn this several times before for folks, okay? Now, let's do it like this, a little bit larger, okay? That's our body. This is our what? I know I'm doing it backwards. This is our what? Spirit, okay? All right. Now, this is our body. I'm just going to do B. This is our soul, and this is our spirit. You see that? And the reason I want to take the time to show you this, if you don't understand how you're made, and if you don't understand how Satan tweaks you and manipulates you, you ever seen one of those voodoo dolls? Okay, I'm not suggesting that this morning, but I am telling you, when Satan knows how to put the right pressure at the right point in you, and if he can get you captive in your mental capacity or your emotional capacity, you are in bondage. And you've heard me say this about 6 or 8 months ago. If that is you, if you have an unhealed soul, something in your life, you, my friend, are no different than someone who puts a needle in their arm. You are addicted to an open wound. And Satan has you in bondage. Now, whether you want to admit it, the first step we always say is to get victory is you have to admit you have a what? A problem. And the first step in this is understanding that you have an emotional bondage, a wound that Satan still manipulates. You cannot forgive yourself. He won't let you experience that cleansing power that we sing about in these blessed old hymns and we preach out of this blessed old book. That is called satanic manipulation. It's deception, emotional subversion at its best by the best deceiver ever. And understanding this is so, so very, very important. Now, I'm trying to get a different color here. How do I get a different color, Steve? Double tap. I know how to double tap. All right. Green. When we get saved, God gets everything positionally. You with me? Okay. Double tap. Double tap. All right. When the Holy Spirit of God comes in, He comes right here. You see that? Is this coming out? Can you see it? He's right here. And so now we have the big S. Okay. Now, the battleground often occurs right here. This is where your intellect, you see that? I'm going to put an E for emotion. I'm going to put a W right here for will. You see that? Right there is the battleground. It's not just your mind. And I'm going to show you this. It's everything. You see, when the Holy Spirit of God came and dwelt within your spirit and my spirit, when we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the only really holy thing that is within us. That's where God's Spirit dwells. After that, the Word of God is preached. We hear it intellectually. Okay, we hear it with our ears, we hear it and we process it intellectually in combination with the Holy Spirit of God. And when we hear the Word of God, we are to yield to the Word of God and we grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there are some areas in some people's lives where Satan still has a stronghold through an emotion, some type of emotion, whether it be insecurity, unforgiveness of something, defilement, a hopelessness, something that you know that is back there in your past, but you know you don't want to touch it. This kind of a thing. You see that this is where the battleground is right here. It's the entire part of the soul of man. Okay, you see that. Now, if some of you may recall, erase, boom. I love it. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2. I want to show you something here. 1 John chapter number 2. When this battle is going on, you don't sense that forgiveness. Now, everybody doesn't have this, but some people do, and it's a very potent thing that Satan keeps people in bondage with. And I want to show you right here that the emotions are a target, and probably more so of a target than the mind. And here's why. Remember I had Will come down last Sunday? I said, Will, you ever have happy thoughts? He said, yeah. I said, your mom cooks lunch for you or breakfast. That's a happy thought, right? Kids like to eat. I said, but if you're thinking on these happy thoughts about eating a big pizza, and I come up and stomp your foot, is your mind on pizza anymore or is it on the pain of your foot? Well, obviously, your mind is going to be where? On the pain. What part of your soul feels the pain? Emotion. It's not your mind. See, you don't have a mental problem per se. You have an open wound in the soul. You have an emotional problem here that Satan is manipulating, okay, in the emotions. All right? So I want to show you something here. In 1 John chapter number 2, read verse 16 with me. For all that is in the world, the lust of the what? Flesh, and the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the who? Father, but of what? Now who's the God of this world? Okay. You tracking with me. Now, so I'm going to write down the soul right here, okay? All right? We have intellect, that's your mind. We have emotion, All right, and we have a wheel. I'm going to kind of try to put this right here in the middle. Now, let's dissect this. You want to dissect this? Okay, this might not be preaching for some of you this morning, but here I'm going to tell you something. If you don't get this, you're going to stay where you're at. My job as a leader is to take you where you need to be, not where you want to go. Okay? How many of you like getting beat up by Satan? How many of you are tired of getting beat up by Satan? Okay, stay with me. I'm trying to help you. Let me just say this. I have to tell my children all the time, look, if you don't apply yourself, you're not going to learn. I can come in and stir you with a fireball sermon, and hopefully you will change, but you're going to have to apply some mental and spiritual effort to go forward in Christ. How many are with me on that? Okay? For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. Now, there's three parts here. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Okay. Would lust of the flesh go under intellect or emotion? Let's dissect that. You see, when someone has a fleshly lust, does that impact the emotion, or would you tend to say that kind of, when they start thinking about chocolate cake, the chocolate cake gets thrown around, starts churning where? In the mind. You see? In the mind. When people begin to think about bad things, those things they start in the mind. You see, the mind, by its depraved nature, will go and look for things to think about that is lustful to the flesh and lustful to the what? Eye. So we're going to dissect this morning and put lust of the flesh right here under this category. Okay? All right, I'm going to move this right here. Okay. All right. And we're going to put the lust of the eye. Oh, come on. Eye right here. Now, when it comes to pride, you hurt me, and I'm not going to let you forget it. Now, where would that fall under? Is that going to fall under intellect, or is that going to fall under our feely category? You what? Hurt me, that's what? Feeling, and I'm not going to let you what? Forget it, therefore I'm going to get what? Bitter? Bitterness is what? An emotion. I'm going to be angry at you forever. What is anger? So where are we going to put the pride? Is it going to go under intellect, or would you put that under emotion? It'd be going under emotion, right? So now you see where Satan's key point of deceiving people, what caused, out of those three, flesh, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and pride of life, which one got Satan kicked out of heaven? Pride. So we can conclude from this, knowing the Bible, that Satan primarily works and is a targeted area. It's not our mind every time, but the main target is where? Emotion. Emotion. This is why you have a fear not for every day of the year, some people have said, in the Bible. This is why when you read Isaiah 53, you will find so many different emotions there in that chapter. Going into chapter 54, we even deal with shame. That is a type of emotion. Now, how many are following me so far? Now, so when you say Satan's battling my mind, what you're actually saying, no, our emotions is what's being dealt with. He has us in bondage. Are you forgivable? The deepest hindrance for a person not experiencing the healing that Jesus Christ gives is unforgiveness. The biggest, deepest hindrance is unforgiveness. And as we noted last week, if you haven't experienced that cleansing power of Christ, that means there is an area of your life that's under bondage by Satan. There's an area in the soul. You see, unforgiveness causes the most damage to the human soul. And if there's something there that you just can't give up because you think, you know, I don't deserve it, or whatever the case may be. You see, that is a lie of Satan. When people are hurt, anger is a normal thing and a normal response, but to retain any type of emotion is a bad thing, because when you do that, it puts you in bondage. If you want to carry your guilt, guess who's in bondage? If you want to carry that anger because somebody wronged you, guess who's in bondage? If you want to carry that feeling of hopelessness that Satan tells you there is no hope, but the Bible tells you that Christ is the blessed hope. If you want to go that direction because of the way you feel, and remember, we tend to go in the direction of how we feel because we believe our emotions over oftentimes the Word of God. Say what you want, but that's the fact. And you see, if we're going to be victorious, we have to understand what area Satan is manipulating, because I guarantee you, he knows how you're made. And if you want to go down in the doldrums all the time, stay under that black cloud, then go to sleep. We'll wake you up when we're done. But if you want victory, when you get bad news and things like this, listen, it's not just throwing it up and saying, you know, you got to trust the Lord. Yes, we should trust the Lord. Yes, we should faith God. But we are to learn through these things, because I'm going to tell you something. When you don't learn what God wants you to learn, you don't get victory where God gives you the victory. You're going to stay in that trial, in bondage, and wonder, well, Christianity, Jesus, you let me down. Christianity didn't work for me. Listen, Jesus lets no one down. It's a lack of understanding. It's a lack of proper teaching. It's a lack of proper preaching of the Word of God and applying ourselves to the Word of God, to study, to show thyself approved, rightly divided in the Word of truth, where we can get the victory. Because God wants to give it. He paid such a high price for us to have the victory that's in Christ Jesus, not to be held in bondage by our emotions. And so many are. The Apostle Paul preached on this, taught on this, wrote it in Ephesians chapter 4. I want you to know something here. Matthew chapter number 6. Let's go very quickly. Forgiveness on the human side, it doesn't mean people aren't guilty. It doesn't mean you're declaring them not guilty. What it means is, you're releasing the matter so God can judge it. Did you get that? You're releasing the matter to God so He can deal with it. He can deal with it. In Matthew chapter 6, in verse number 14, notice what the Bible says here. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also what? Forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You see, when we hold on to somebody who has wronged us, and we get angry and we get bitter at them, the fact of the matter is, we're the one that's in bondage. And because we're in that bondage, we don't experience the forgiveness, is what Christ's saying here. Because we're not. He says, but if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive yours. This is why people don't feel that they're forgiven, because there's something there. You see, when you release it to that forgiveness and that person who has wronged you, what you're actually doing is you're giving God that opportunity to judge and deal with that matter in that life, in their life. And also, what you're giving God the opportunity to do is to heal your own soul. Amen. You see, and Satan wants pride to hang on. I want to justify this. I want to make that person pay. I wish they would hurt. I wish they would go to jail. I wish they would fall on their face. I want to laugh at them. Now, the case may be. And you see, and oftentimes people vacillate back and forth in their minds saying, well, I forgive them, but all of a sudden it's almost like you haven't. When you're forgiven, you're forgiven. When you're forgiven, when you have forgiven. You see, spiritual nurture from God is a way God helps us to grow. And unforgiveness is that tricky, deceptive, detrimental thing that keeps us from growing in Christ. because it cuts off that nurture from God. As Paul put it, it quenches the Holy Spirit of God in our life. And you see, this is what Jesus is saying. Unforgiveness is a hindrance to freedom. It is holding on to things against, and by the way, it's a holding on against things even against yourself and others. It's being deceived, and you're in the bondage of the enemy. Are you forgivable? If you have a feeling of guilt, then your emotion has a bondage on you. Christ came to set us free. Amen? He came to set us free. You see, if you have asked God to forgive you of your sins, you are forgiven. But oftentimes when people ask for that forgiveness, they don't feel like they're forgiven. And their soul is still in bondage. You see, the healthy relationship that lasts has to know forgiveness. That's true for marriage. You see, and Satan knows if you can't forgive yourself and you can't forgive others, your relationship with God, or your fellowship with God is not going to last. And he uses this as a tricky way to keep you in bondage. Just like some egregious sin would drive you away from God, he uses our own trichotomy or our emotions to drive us away from God. You see, God wants you to forgive others. He wants you to forgive yourself. And sometimes, I have to explain this later, now, we know God makes no mistakes, amen? But sometimes we have to say, God, it's okay. I forgive you. Because you may have a grudge against God. Improper grudge, but nevertheless a grudge. Now, be honest. Don't raise your hand. How many of you ever had a grudge against God? Something that happened. You didn't agree with. You see, Satan hates God. And all those that belong to him. Satan is sterile. You realize that? He cannot create, so he attacks God's highest creation. That's you and me. And he attacks us. And he hates anything that even resembles God. And we are created in God's image. Hello, amen. So he destroys and he harasses. And if there's something by just living in this life where you have fallen into a circumstance, where whether willfully or unwillfully, knowingly or unknowingly, and you find yourself in a position where you can't forgive others or you can't forgive yourself, know this, Satan has a stronghold on you today. You see, this hate that Satan has for you, it drives him to attack. It drives him to harass. It drives him to no ends. And this is why he worked so hard to deceive the very people God has sent his son to shed his blood for. Because he hates. This is real. Hello. And if you don't take it as real, where are you going to go to get the help that you need? There is no other place. Because the God that we serve is the forgiving God. And the Lord Jesus Christ, His blood and only His blood, and on His merit of His blood is the only basis of that forgiveness. Amen. So where else are you going to go? So don't tune me out here. You see, his greatest strategy, Satan's greatest strategy, is deception, producing a variety of feelings, the fear, the guilt, the loneliness, the inferiority, the low self-worth, the hopelessness, all these things. He is envious of you because you are created in God's image and he knows his position is eternity in hell and you're redeemed to go to glory. He is mad at you. And he works overtime to keep that wound in your heart from healing, that emotional wound that boggles the mind, that keeps the mind occupied. You see, out of pride and jealousy, he attacks those who he disdains. And he's not afraid of you, but he is afraid of Christ. And if we don't understand how he does it, we're going to be in this bondage and forfeit the greatest redemption that mankind has ever known. You see, he attacks most in areas where man can relate to God. Okay? What areas does he attack most? Number one, he attacks in the areas that you can relate to God. You see?
And here's why the emotions are so important. Stay with me. He attacks the emotions because once your emotions are so built up, it quenches the spirit. And if your spirit is quenched, he's got you. He wants you to keep you in that emotional bondage because as Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 4, he talks about bitterness, anger, and wrath, all these things. What do? They quench the spirit. And Satan attacks in any area where he can manipulate and constrain, slow down, destroy your relationship, number one, with God, number two, with others, number three, yourself. Okay? And so he assaults humanity in this way, these ways. And his assault is fierce and it's unrelenting. He knows without a strong mental and emotional health. Yeah, I said it. He knows without this strong and mental emotional health, we will be crippled in every area of our life. Because he knows how powerful our emotions are to quench the Spirit of God. And if he can keep you in that state of being, of experiencing that unforgiveness, friends, he has impeded your walk with God. He has impeded. He's winning here. Okay? All right, I want to spend just a moment here on forgiving yourself. Can I do that? Just forgiving yourself. Now again, some of you may not have done anything or been in a circumstance where you had to forgive yourself of something, but some people have, so bear with me. You see, in Matthew chapter number 18, let's go there. In Matthew chapter number 18, I'm going to read this. You can just jot it down and get the CD. By the way, you ought to get the CD anyway. In verse number 27, we have a Jesus here teaching on the law of forgiveness. And of all people, in verse 21, look who's asking the question here. Remember we talked about Peter? How ironic. I don't think so. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Did this guy need this lesson later on in his life or what? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. In other words, there's no limit to the point you forgive. Why is that? Because there's no sin that God can't forgive that's under the blood. That's why you keep forgiving. And by the way, this is why you can forgive yourself. And he goes on to say, now, this man came to him, I'm going to just paraphrase this for time's sake, the man came to him, asked unto a certain king, and his servant came to him, and he was in debt, and he asked him to forgive him. He was going to throw him and his family and everybody in jail. Now, here's an interesting thing. Because of unforgiveness, it wasn't just affecting that man, it was affecting his family. So don't think emotional bondage is just affecting you. It affects everybody. Amen. And you see, when you get right here, he says in verse 27, then the Lord of the servant was moved with what? Compassion. Key word. You may want to underline that. He was moved with compassion and what? That's that release. You see that? Loosed him and forgave him his what? Debt. But that same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, and he laid his hands on him and took him out by the throat, saying, pay me thou that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into the prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servant saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after he had called him and said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Should not thou also have what? Compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee. So that same compassion God wants us to have towards people. Now, do you think God wants you to have that same compassion toward yourself? So, well, okay, it sounds all good and preachy, Pastor, but is it really, really true? Is that really how it's supposed to work? Okay, well, let's go to Matthew 22 and look what Jesus said. If your neighbor offends you, are you supposed to forgive? Yeah. But what did Jesus say in Matthew 22 about this thing of forgiveness? And my question to you again, are you forgivable? And the biblical answer is yes. The blood of Christ cleanseth all sin. Notice what Christ said here in verse 37, Matthew 22. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. There's your parts of your trichotomy. This is the first and great what? Commandment. Now, let me just stop right here. It's because some of you may get tired of me preaching on this trichotomy. If you notice the teaching of Jesus, he points this out all the time. Amen. He points out this out the trichotomy all the time. And if Jesus, notice this, these are the very same areas Satan wants to attack where Jesus said you ought to love God. Amen. Think about it. This is the first and great what? Commandment. Now again, if Satan can keep you deceived in emotional bondage, you cannot fulfill verse 37. Can I get an amen there? This is why I stay on this, and I've been parked on this for quite a while. Verse 39 is where I'm trying to go. Everybody there with me? And the second commandment is unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thy what? As thy who? In other words, Jesus said, look, if you have enough of me in you to forgive other people, listen, you've got enough of me in you to forgive yourself. Because not only are you to show compassion when other people wrong you, you're to show compassion when you've done something wrong to yourself or something you can't forgive yourself for. Love thy neighbor as thy what? The Holy Spirit of God didn't have to put that as thyself in there. He could have just said, love thy what? Neighbor. Would you want somebody to have compassion on you and forgive you if you've wronged them? Yeah. So the just thing is to have that reciprocal attitude back to you when you need that same forgiveness. Now, you may not need that forgiveness from someone else, but you may need it from yourself. How many ever done something that's kind of hard for you to get over? Everybody else got over it, but you haven't gotten over it. You see there? You see, once you realize God wants you to have that same compassion towards yourself as you have exhibited towards other people, you are one step in the right direction to having the release that God wants you to have. You see, sometimes forgiveness, as far as our heart is concerned, it's a little bit of a process. God forgives like that. You see, and this is why sometimes people, I've tried to do that. Listen, sometimes it's letting that truth just sink down in there. Remember the illustration I gave the other Sunday? When you're in bondage, it's like a granite rock, and the truth just has to keep hammering away. And sooner or later, the truth of God's Word is going to hammer that boulder that's got you chained in bondage. God's going to hammer that thing down to dust, and you cannot put shackles in dust. And so the problem really isn't on God's side. God forgives immediately when we ask forgiveness. Sometimes we have to understand it, apply it, receive it. You see, some people don't feel worthy to be saved, and they just really have a hard time receiving Christ as their Savior. They know they're guilty. But here's the thing. That too is pride. Because what you're saying is, like the unsaved person, I'm going to try to be good enough to earn salvation, to earn, quote unquote, forgiveness. We can never earn it. And there may be some things that you may have done or been a part of, unknowingly, unknown, whatever. And you say, it's hard for me to forgive myself. Listen, that is no different than a person realizing that they are a sinner, but yet trying to please God through their good works. Listen, if God has forgiven you, you can forgive yourself. Bottom line. You see, forgiving yourself means you have compassion is commanded in forgiveness. Compassion is commanded in forgiveness. Another thing, compassion is to be extended to yourself. You see, forgiveness is the result of receiving the truth. How many want to receive the truth this morning? The truth is you are forgivable. And then you love your love just as you forgive your neighbor, you can forgive yourself in this thing. I want to close in 1 John chapter 3. I think this will be encouraging for you this morning. 1 John chapter number 3. How many appreciate the blood of Christ? 1 John 3, verse 18. My little children, let us not love in what?
Word.
Neither in tongue, but in what?
Deed.
And in what?
Truth.
Don't just give yourself lip service. Receive what God has given you. Amen? Wouldn't it be hypocritical to say, Brother Ron, you know what? You stepped on my foot the other day, and I'm mad at you about it, but I forgive you. But then I come and say, you know what? I really don't forgive him. My toe still hurts. I still feel the pain. Wouldn't that be hypocritical? But what if you say, you know, I forgive myself, but you really don't? What is John telling us? He said, look, you ought to love in what?
Word
and in deed and in what?
Truth.
Receive what God has for you. Now let's finish reading. It gets better. And hereby we know that we are the truth and shall assure our what?
Hearts.
Now what's our heart? Heart is the amalgamation of intellect, emotion, what? It's the seat of the emotion. And God wants to have the assurance. This is where you know. This is where you experience. And may I say you feel. Amen. I know some folks want to target that word, but I will explain that. I have explained it in different sermons. We're talking about healing the heart here. We're not talking about salvation. Verse 19. And hereby we what?
Know.
We know that we are of the truth and shall assure our what? Hearts before Him. For if our heart... What's this next word? Now, here's the thing. Let's stop right here. How many of you ever done something and you said, oops, shouldn't have done that? And you ask forgiveness. Now you have to come to the decision is my heart condemning me or is Satan condemning me? If you've asked Jesus to forgive your sin but still are feeling guilty, then it's not your heart nor is it the Holy Spirit condemning you. It is who?
Satan.
Satan. For if our heart condemn us, God is what? Greater than our heart. In other words, God can convict us greater than our hearts can. Right? For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knoweth all things. He knows everything we've done. And the point here is again, if God can forgive you, you can forgive yourself. Because you're not greater than God. I'm not greater than God. Beloved, if our heart, see how many times he's talking about the heart here? You see, the heart deals with the emotion. The Bible's full of this. For if, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have what?
Confidence.
Folks, if it's not your heart, and if it's not the Holy Spirit, then it's Satan. You take the Word of God and you drive that rascal out of your soul, out of your mind. Amen. You do what exactly the master did in Gethsemane, in the wilderness. You take the Word of God and you drive him away because you're letting him have a acreage. You're letting him have bondage that Christ has already set you free from. It's emotional subversion at its best. We'll close here today. If your heart's not condemning you, it is Satan doing the condemning. If it's not the Holy Spirit and you've asked forgiveness of it, it is Satan. Understand this. And God expects you and I to extend that same compassion to yourself as you would to a neighbor. Father, we come to you today and just pray you have your will and way. If there's one here today that does not know Christ as their Savior, Lord, I pray today will be the day they pray and ask God to forgive their sins and ask Jesus into their heart. Lord, help us now at this time. Lord, there's more of a teaching session today. But Lord, I pray that irregardless of the type of delivery that was given by the messenger, that the truth of your word will go forth and do its perfect work in our hearts. Father, there are people here today who have been carrying guilt for a while. It's false guilt. And Lord, I pray you do the healing work. By his stripes we are healed. He bore our grief. He bore our sorrows. He suffered our shame. And Lord, we just pray you'll give victory here today. In Jesus' name.